Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
When did this Deshaun stuff, what was the exact date of the Deshaun stuff going down? March 16th? Was that it? What was
when Tony Busby initially?
Yeah.
I don't know. It was in March, right?
Hold on. I know exactly when it was because I DM'd Lance about it. And then, because it happened at like 8 or 9 at night. And no.
It was in March. Anyway.
It was March 16th.
March 16th. That's why I knew that stood out. That date stood out to me. March 16th. Well, 2 days earlier, a massage therapist was investigated. A complaint was filed on March 14th, 2020, against a 41-year-old massage therapist that's been working on Ohio State football players. Apparently, according to the investigation, 83 of the 117 football players interviewed had no knowledge or interaction with a massage therapist. Of the 34 who did, 9 football student athletes either interacted with her over social media or directly knew about her from other football student athletes. 20 football student athletes received massages only. 5 football student athletes acknowledged during interviews that they engaged in sexual activities with the massage therapist. All of the football student athletes who engaged in sexual encounters described them as consensual. So, Deshaun, why Clemson? If you went to Ohio State, you could have gotten all your action in.
It would have had to have been a whole company of women like this, because he appears to not just want to be focused on one massage therapist.
No, he's the opposite. He's a serial massage therapist
enthusiast. Certainly. Yes. And this woman is 41 years old. I'm not sure if that's out of his age range.
I don't believe so.
I'm not sure. Yeah. I don't know. He might be into that. Well, if he's seen enough, you know, if he grew up with enough Brazzers, I'm sure he likes a MILF massage too. I don't know. Yeah, I said it, Tyler. Don't worry about it. He's in there reacting. apparently the rub of this, no pun intended, is that this woman was saying, yeah, sure, I'll give you a massage. And then if you agree to the sexual interactions following the massage, I'm going to force you to pay me for it.
Right.
She demanded payment after any alleged sexual conduct.
She should, but didn't she get paid for the massage?
But no, I think she wanted payment if it followed through with sexual interactions. Ah. And that is not something, apparently she didn't make that known beforehand. She made it known after. Well, we did this, so it's going to cost you this.
She get $3.9 million?
Seems unlikely.
Yeah.
But from a college player.
The woman has been banned from the Ohio State campus, barred from contacting any member of the Ohio State Athletic Department. Her massage therapy license was revoked by the state's medical board. This seems like somebody Deshaun would be interested in now. I mean, apparently, how many of them, a number of them with Deshaun did not have a massage therapy license anyway, right?
No, they just had an Instagram account, that's all.
Right. One of them was a makeup. Remember? Well, you can do a massage too, right? Didn't she do makeup? Was one of them a makeup artist? I'm pretty sure Deshaun was like, hey, it's just like a massage.
You can, okay? Don't worry.
It's the same thing. I come over, you can, you know, pretend you're rubbing stuff, only it's not on my face.
Sure. They're like, but I don't do massages. You can figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, there's a first time for everything.
He goes, I didn't take many snaps under center in college. I figured that out. look, we can, look, people change. People, people are adaptable.
You can adapt?
Yeah. People question whether I could do that, and I'm just fine doing that.
So Ohio State has its own massage therapist. Yeah. I mean.
What's your, do you think she should have been banned from campus?
I mean, she's performing, she can massage. What? Guys but need a massage, or football players need a massage.
Should she demand payment if she's, if she was like, yeah. If she like made it known that sexual interaction could occur, should she be able to demand payment afterwards when she didn't let that be known?
Well, I mean, sometimes you get charged. Hey, every time I, and I've got to pay, I keep on putting it off. Is this not the case if you get any, this, I hate this. You get any kind of medical treatment, they come, like the anesthesiologist comes back at you after you pay it all, you do all the stuff, you send it to the insurance. Okay, you owe us $134. Why do I owe you another $134? Why couldn't you get this? Why? Why? You just want another $134. That's what you want from me. That's it. I am so sick of that. Maybe she's just like that. I'm an anesthesiologist.
Now, the question would be, what do they mean she demanded payment? Did she say, pay me for this, or I'm going to say you did something? That then it becomes ugly.
Well, like, then it's extortion.
Yeah, so I'm trying to figure out what they mean by demand
payment. What are you
going to
say, that you had consensual sex with me after you gave me?
Yeah. So how do you demand payment for that?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Unless you threaten them with something else.
Unless you say it's a little something, just a little extra. But, now that is prostitution, but
yeah, it is. But she, from the writing. Who knows? But from the writing of this particular piece, it makes it sound like the players were unaware that the sexual encounter would lead to some form of payment afterwards.
What did they think? Like, she likes me?
Yeah.
Like, you go to a strip club, she likes me?
They're dumb football players, John. What do you think they thought?
What do you think, dumb football player? She doesn't like you. She wants your money.
But what? And they would say, what money? I don't go to Georgia. I don't get those payments on a week. It's a joke. I'm
aware. Right. That's a joke.
I'm aware.
Ohio State?
I'm aware.
Yeah.
They're football players. They just think everyone likes them, right? So they probably thought, hey, this is great. I'm a football player. She wants to do this with me.
She wants to do stuff.
Yeah.
She likes me. No, she don't like you. She wants cash. Okay. Cash is king.
And now by she's banned.
Don't Venmo me. Give me some cash. Bring cash with you next time. Okay? Why? This is a service for the Ohio State football player. Then they banned her?
Because
it seems like a necessary service, these massages.
Not, well, if she would have kept it at massages, I think she would have been okay.
Yeah, nah. Which is better? Rick Pitino's Louisville basketball team or Ohio State football massage therapist?
Depends on what fantasy you have.
If
you like the massage,
I like the way Pitino went about
it. I'm sure you do. It's one of your people,
right? None of the players got charged.
Well, none of these players got charged,
and they did. They had to pay her more.
I thought you meant like a criminal.
No. Charge money.
But
the Louisville basketball players, the coaching staff took care of it.
But but if you're the administration at these two schools, you like the Ohio State scenario where you can claim no fault of your own, and it doesn't affect your on-field status. Like, didn't Louisville lose a national title over this?
Didn't they
take away their national title because of this?
Yeah, whatever.
They can't hang the banners anymore. They're not allowed to hang the banners, I believe.
Hang it anyway. Oh. Screw you, NCAA. We're going to hang. We were the champs. Sorry.
Well, so, in this case, Ohio State is not at fault, and nothing happens to them. While Louisville, they got hit with something. So, I'm going to take the Ohio State scenario.
Yeah, I kind of like the way Louisville went about it.
Yeah, because if you're a player,
you're a player.
Does it cost you anything?
No. Hey, coach, take care of this.
I'm gonna stand on the ground that all of it is wrong, John. I don't like any of it. The entire thing is wrong.
Oh, holier than thou.
Yeah.
Like it's a bad thing
mostly
for the kids.
Mostly because the massage therapist was 41. Like,
yeah, right.
If you're gonna demand stuff from me afterwards, look, like the player's like, we're doing you a favor. Like, wait a minute. You're charging us? You don't think we get better than you?
You're 41.
Yeah. I thought I was doing you the favor.
812 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776. If you want to hang with us here on the show, you are more than welcome to do that. Right now, though, I'm talking about my guy, Jeff Aronoff, over at Absolute Marble in Granite. And I've talked about this. I don't know how many times I've said it, but it's got to be a big job. Jeff only does big. He does entire hotels where he's putting in all the countertops or all the vanities or whatever the case, whatever it is that he's agreed to do. And he's doing this all over the Absolute Marble and Granite is a huge business concern. And he's unbelievable. He's great, but it's got to be a big job. Are you building a home and you want to put in that outdoor patio? You want to put in that outdoor kitchen? And trust me, Jeff can make it look unbelievable. I mean, with the stone now and the brick and the marble and the granite that he can choose, you can make it look as rich as you possibly, it can look unbelievable, people. And he's going to help you pick what it is. He helped us pick in our backyard and helped us sell our house when we did it. And it was a big part of it. When you got that outdoor with the pool and the tile and the kitchen and everything else, it is a huge money maker for your home. You got to have it. If you just got a plain backyard, this is a great time for you to start, because you will use it. You will use it in the summer. That's when we used ours most, and you're probably going to use yours as well. So if you're looking to make that huge addition to your home or business, 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822. It's Absolute Marble and Granite.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, welcome back. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. 713-780-3776 to hang out with us. John, Dell, and Tyler. Astros win last night, 4-3 extra innings. Miles Straw with the walk-off run on a wild pitch. The walk-off wild pitch. Miles Straw scored from third because he knew that the dude bounces it up. He'd seen him in minors. That's just good information. That's good stuff. That's good anticipation by Miles Straw. At least he's sharp. What is Miles Straw? Somebody asked. Mariznick hit for pop. At least Mariznick could field above average and occasionally hit for power. What is Straw do except run fast in a straight line? That is kind of true. I don't want to be a little disrespectful to Miles Straw, but that's pretty much what he does.
Mariznick also does that.
Mariznick is also a fast guy. Not as fast as Straw, but fast. Didn't he just win a game? Can we save the slander for, you know, the next time he makes a mistake?
Yeah, he did kind of send it to 11 innings because he couldn't hit a fly ball further than mid-right field.
Oh, so what did Carlos Correa do last night? Are we crushing him for his, what, ofer?
Well, no, Carlos Correa is a superhero.
Is he?
Carlos Correa, his OPS is up to 700 now.
He moved the runner over with his fifth non-hit.
Yeah. How about that? His fifth non-hit became a runner moved over? Yeah. Taking a base. You know, that's kind of a big deal.
Set up the winning run.
That's kind of a big deal. I don't know if you heard, but that is kind of a big deal.
Moving the
runners.
Scoring the winning run is a bigger deal.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess.
No,
but
no
he wasn't
guessing.
Able to do that in that moment.
But he wouldn't have been able to do it without Carlos. Right?
Yeah. Right.
So there's that. So Astros win. Hey, 20-17 now. Pretty totally sweet. Totally sweet. Second place and moving up on the A's. And so good stuff and starting to separate themselves from the rest of the division. It's a long way to go. 37 games in. You got a long, long way to go. But they're starting to pile up now series wins. They're starting to add up now. The Yankees was the only one. And quite frankly, that win that they got against the Yankees was probably the best win of the season. And look at since then, how well they've played. That was a huge win beating Cole that day. Now, he didn't get the loss, but he was the starter. And the Rockets have signed Keary Thomas to a multi-year extension. If you don't know what a Keary Thomas is, Keary Thomas actually had 27 points against Utah on Saturday. So if you score 27, we're going to give you a multi-year deal. I mean, for the Rockets, boy, they are finding... Let's just find guys wherever we possibly can. And that's where you found Keary Thomas on a hardship 10-day contract. Hardship contract because your team was so beat up that you needed an extra player. So the league gave you an extra player.
Pretty good late birthday gift for him. He turned 25 on May 8th. And about less than a week later, he's got, I don't know how many of the years are guaranteed or if any of them are guaranteed. I don't know if SpotTrack has that stuff up yet, but some nice security for him.
Yeah.
A 10-day guy, as you pointed out, who had bounced around the league, had played for the Pistons and was drafted by the Sixers in 2018, now has a home for the foreseeable future. So great for him. It's a good story in a season kind of devoid of them for the Rockets. Certainly a good story for Mr. Thomas.
He's got a nice shot. He was knocking down shots for him. He's got a nice sweet jumper that was working against Utah anyway for 27 points, and it got him a multi-year contract. Way to go! Way to go! You know, that's stepping up. That's clutch. You get 10 days to prove yourself at the NBA level, and you put up a 27 spot against the best team in the West.
While we're finding, and the Rockets have to find these small victories, I just wonder how many of these guys actually will be are good enough to be part of a good basketball team. I mean, in the future. Now, these guys aren't frontline guys, but are we in the middle of finding younger pieces that at some point when the Rockets turn this around, they'll be here for it? Or, you know, you're just filling a roster with guys because you have to have a full roster, and at some point, much like we believe the coach won't be around when things turn around, that these players won't be here either. As I brought up before, I mean, outside of Kenyon Martin Jr. and Monty Brooks, who's a younger guy, but guys like Kerry Thomas, Jayshon Tate are in their mid-20s. And what's the perspective for the Rockets to be? What's the long term for the Rockets to be good? We're talking 3 years from now, 2 years from now. When can we expect the Rockets to be an actually good basketball team again?
Oh, I think it's going to take at least 3 years.
Yeah, so, I'm doing the whole existential thing, but as far as these signings are, I mean, it's great that Thomas has some security for the next couple of years, but what does it really mean?
No, this is going to be one of those times. Yeah, you remember when the Rockets had Kerry Thomas? I mean, Kerry Thomas is a... we'll see. I mean, he's already signed a multi-year deal. Good for Kerry Thomas that he got himself a contract. But Kerry Thomas just made the worst basketball. From here, there's nowhere to go but up in the league. This is the worst basketball team maybe we've seen in some time. Because after that they won 8 out of 9. I mean, look at this. This is like the worst team. I don't know. Can we remember a worse team than the Rockets are right now?
I mean, the Wolves have been bad before. Now they've had frontline players like Karl Anthony Towns and even D'Angelo Russell, guys who have been all-star caliber players, but they were bad last year. Like, the Rockets are bad because they're anonymous, but there have been teams who have been terrible. Like Cleveland in the post-LeBron years was atrocious, like awful. And we're bad and weren't entertaining. The Rockets, at least, because of how anonymous they are, you can go, that's cute. Look at that guy. He makes shots. That stuff you can kind of, I don't know, warm yourself when you watch them because they're not players that you know anything about. And it's pretty cool to watch a player you know nothing about perform on the NBA level. But there have been bad teams like this before.
Well, it was 6 out of 7 that they won. It was 7 out of 8 that they won. And on February 4th, they were 11-10. Since then, they're 5-44. I don't know that 5-44 isn't the worst.
Well, there's a 20-game losing streak so that's going to help the cause, certainly.
Which is right there with the worst ever in league history.
For example, I'm just looking. The Cavs were in a shortened year last year were 19-46, which is better than the Rockets this year. They were 19-63 the year before. They're on that. Let's just say the Rockets are on that terrible Cavs level is what they are right now. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's even worse since that 7-8 run. 5-44. That's all-time horrific. All-time horrific.
They're with those Sixers process years teams where there was a clear attempt to not win games. The Sixers were – you could put this Rockets team on that level where the Sixers were trying their hardest not to be anywhere near competitive in any games, and the Rockets are matching that. Like, the Sixers were 10-72 in 15-16.
That's
18-64. These are the teams the Rockets are like.
9-73 is the worst. 110 win percentage, the 72-73 Sixers. The 92-93 Mavs, 11-71. Again, 5-44 is on pace. They're on pace, guys.
Yeah. I mean, if this season went all 82, would they win another game?
7-59, the 11-12 Charlotte Bobcats. That's when they were the Bobcats. 11-71, the 97-98 Nuggets. This is right there with the worst ever. Yeah, listen, and it doesn't matter who. I mean, if they do get the top four pick, what's that guy going
to
do?
There's not a player in this upcoming draft that's good enough to change their fortunes in 1 year.
No.
It's going to be a longer rebuild.
There's no LeBron coming out of this.
No, even Zion, who everyone knew was the top overall, can't make the Pelicans a winner. There's not even a Zion on this.
That's so funny. They've had Anthony Davis and Zion, and they can't win. And they don't have a bet. They've got a couple of all-stars.
Yeah, I mean, Brandon Ingram had a really good year last year. I mean, the trading of Drew Holiday makes little. I understand why they did it because of the picks, but maybe he didn't want to come back. But yeah, then that might fall on Stan.
And Ben according Kennedy. To Drew, he's the defensive player of the year.
Every player who thinks they're a good defensive player will say that. Like Ben Simmons has campaigned for it. Bam Adebayo's campaigned for it. Like the media apparently thinks Rudy Gobert is the defensive player of the year, and then NBA players will just flat out disrespect Rudy Gobert on the court, and then when talking about him, like they'll say, "What? Then how come he gets played off the floor?" The Rockets made Rudy Gobert a guy who couldn't play because they would destroy him, and then NBA players point to that. Wait a minute, how can he be the defensive player of the year if a team was better off with him off the floor in the playoffs? Anyone who's been asked that question will tell you, no, I'm the best defensive player. Yeah. That's one of those awards where everyone has an opinion about themselves.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and Drew's got that opinion. I love that. I love that Drew thinks so highly of Drew.
James thought highly of James.
We heard James that. Loved James yesterday.
We heard
James talking about James yesterday. How smart he is. How humble he is.
How good he is at the game.
How good he is at basketball. What a great teammate he is. We heard James talking about James yesterday, and James loving James.
Yeah, I do think that award, from what I can tell, the feeling, at least by listening to people who have votes, is that award's going to go to Rudy Gobert, and the entire NBA will say, really? This guy?
Mm-hmm.
He does a couple things, and none of us respect him, I guess. At least you can watch the play and say that's probably not true because a lot of guys don't want to go at him, but then they'll talk about him like, just a guy.
Yeah, just a guy.
Just a guy on the best team in the West, by the way.
Yep. There's a list of the top takeaways from the 2021 NFL season release, schedule of release, and surprisingly, your Houston Texans are not on it. We'll talk about it on the other side. Oh, yeah. Give me the VIN.com. GiveMeTheVIN.com is what I'm talking about now. John Clay Wolf didn't answer. He's going to be on tomorrow morning. You can listen to him right here on ESPN 97.5. And I'm not, maybe on 92.52. I'm not sure, but try to listen on 97.5. So if you're looking for a great way to sell your car, if you're looking for entertainment, that's for sure. Tomorrow morning, GiveMeTheVIN.com. John Clay Wolf he's very entertaining. Now he will say some things that you'll shake your head and say, wow, I didn't know you could say stuff like that on the radio. That happens all the time right here on ESPN 97.5. So you're looking for that. You're looking for shock value. Okay, you got it. You're also looking to sell your car. You got that too. And he's going to buy it, and he's going to give you more, a lot more in a lot of cases, than your dealership or CarMax will give you. So if you're looking for that car, if you're looking to buy something else and you need to sell this one, sell it to John Clay Wolf and get the most for your car. I don't know why you would do it any other way, because it's a car. You want to get the most money for it. That's what you're trying to get. That's the goal when you sell it, is get the most money for it. So sell it to GiveMeTheVIN.com. John Clay Wolf will give you more. GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to The Bench
on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
Did you take, I mean, ESPN obviously is pounding Tom Brady heading back to New England for week four. I mean, it is just that the ESPN is just loving itself over that. Did you take anything away? I mean, obviously they think Aaron Rodgers is still going to be in Green Bay. If it's Blake Bortles on five nationally televised games, holy crap.
If it's Blake Bortles, Gutekunst beat it. If the guy who started all this and the player who started all this can't start, if Jordan Love can't play and you got to play Blake Bortles, just end Gutekunst's career as a GM. You ran off Aaron Rodgers, yeah. And the guy you picked to run off Aaron Rodgers can't even beat out Blake Bortles. It's already a disaster, and if you can't even follow it up, like I was actually right about the quarterback that I picked, then forget about it. He'll be done.
Yeah, I mean, that is a death knell. If Brian Gutekunst can't figure this out, that is the death knell for his career. You couldn't figure out how to keep Aaron. You got Aaron Rodgers run out of Green Bay.
Was Ron Wolf in Green Bay when they drafted Rodgers? Because at least pissing off Brett Favre, you picked the right quarterback. We upset Brett, but we did follow with another Hall of Famer. Jordan Love doesn't need to be another Hall of Famer, but he needs to be good if you're going to run off Aaron Rodgers when he might. Look, if Aaron Rodgers retires, it'll hurt less. But if Aaron Rodgers and they somehow get rid of him and he's still got 3 to 4 years left and he's really good, forget about it, Gutekunst.
Yeah.
You're done.
Man, Sunday night's got the best. Sunday night matchups are Rams-Bears to start, which we'll see. Do you have to start Justin Fields? That's been a big question. I think NBC would probably want that, right?
I totally said it. No one wants to watch Andy Dalton play football.
Nobody
anymore.
Wants that. No. Well, sorry, Andy.
Except for Katie.
Well, right, and his agent.
And I'm sure the Katie Tigers would love to
his
point
parents to and his agent. That's what that's
and
who wants
his
to see.
His family's parents and his agent, right. And the people in Katie. But other than that, no, we're done with the Andy Dalton experience, right? He got a little bit of run with the Cowboys and nearly got killed by the Washington football team, in that game in Washington. And since then, it's been like, we done with him. Is Finucci going to play? Can we see anything but Andy Dalton? Good career, but we're done. We're done with this, right?
Boy, NBC just gets the best. Look at this line. They've got that. Then they've got Ravens and Chiefs. Then they got the 49ers and Packers. Patriots and Bucks is the Sunday night game where Tom Brady goes back to New England. Chiefs and Bills, Steelers and Seahawks. This is the best. That's obviously, but Sunday night is their showcase now. Monday Night Football's got to be just kicking itself. It was the flagship for the NFL, and now it's just who wants to play on Monday? Although I think they kicked it up a bit for ESPN because ESPN pays more than all the other networks. Of course, they've got all the NFL programming during the week that they which is a big part of what they pay for. But they pay the NFL more, and the Monday night has just been a stink fest. They've just stuck them, and now I think they've got. Don't they have? Aren't they going to flex? I heard there was talk of flexing Monday night games too.
Yeah, I don't.
Towards the end.
At least looking at the schedule, NFL.com doesn't suggest that they'll be flexing.
No.
But maybe they will. It's just not listed here. And I'm just going through the schedule. I mean, you can. If there are some where you're like, why schedule this? And there are others you can say, okay, there's a chance that can be a good game. Like the Giants and the Bucks in week 11. I mean, I guess it's the Giants playing Tom Brady, but are the Giants going to be good?
I think the appeal is that the Giants were the only team that could take care of him in 2007 and 2011.
Yeah, but that's
that's all those guys are gone.
Logic, yeah.
Yeah.
It's different. Other than, I mean, it'll get Giants fans excited. Not only are you on Monday night, but you get to play Tom Brady, a guy, at least in Super Bowls, you've beat. But for the rest of us, No one's there. It's not like Michael Strahan's going to be rushing the passer.
How does Washington football team get a Week 12 Monday night game against Seattle?
Because they won the division last
year? I guess that's attractive for some reason. And Bills and Patriots in the next week? I don't know.
They're taking the chance that the Patriots bounce back, I guess.
I guess.
But see, this is what I'm talking about. These are...
Could possibly
be things opposed to almost, you would want almost locks that you're going to have a good game. And and this is in week 13, you have to hope the Patriots, who aren't favorites to even finish second in their division, are good. They're hoping and praying. And I get the Patriots' name and the brand, but that late in the season, you just got to hope that they've turned it around. And no one's sure about that.
Last game of the year, Steelers and Browns, which figures to be pretty important for that division. It figures
possibly,
to be.
Possibly, certainly. Yeah, it's the two teams who made the playoffs last year.
Right.
I'm just going through the Rams. Is the Rams and Cardinals something that should just be locked in the Monday night, week 14? The Cardinals are...
That was some of the most entertaining football last year.
Yeah.
But, Seahawks-Cardinals.
Yeah. So are we guaranteeing the Cardinals or the Rams? Look, I guess one...
No, they're going to be...
Are the Cardinals going to be good or average again?
Well, that's week 14. They'll already have folded by then.
So what are we doing? Why is that the game that they put on?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, they'll be fighting for the possibility of still getting in the playoffs on a four-game losing streak by that time. Well, in week 14.
That's great programming, then.
Well, I mean, what are you going to do? Sunday night took all the good games. What are you going to do?
Well, what is week 14 of the season? And I would look at and go, I would look at week 14 and say, is there a better matchup than the Cardinals and the Rams? Possibly.
Well, Packers Bears are Sunday night football that week. Week 14.
You've got.
And then 15 is Buccaneers Saints on Sunday night football.
But why wouldn't you put Bills Buccaneers on week 14 for your Monday night game? That's scheduled for that weekend.
You can't have the Bucs on every...
It's better than... How many times can you have them?
I mean...
It's better than what they're... Look, I know CBS has to have some inventory where they have good games, too. I don't know who gets first choice. I think it's the Sunday night broadcast, right? But if you could choose, I would be taking Bills Bucs over Cardinals and Rams.
Right. The Bucks have three. Well, they got the Thursday night game to open up. That's considered a Sunday night game, but they've got three NBC games. The Bucks do, and they've also got one Monday night football game.
So they only have one. You could put them on again.
Yeah, put them on again.
Yeah, Cardinals and Rams. Good luck.
Well, you just answer. You hate the Cardinals.
I don't hate the Cardinals, but they Cliff Kingsbury has a track record. You know, things actually falling apart later in the season. That goes for his college career and now his NFL career, at least last year. Why are you banking on them being good late in the year?
Texans get one Thursday. Everybody has to have a Thursday night game. So they got the Texans out of the way in week three. Bengals and Jaguars, while Joe Burrow is still alive, he's going to be able to play Trevor Lawrence. So they got to have that in week four. That's a nice Thursday matchup.
Yeah, they play. You can sell it as a rematch of the title game from a couple seasons ago. Two young quarterbacks, first overall, back to back years, and hopefully for Joe Burrow's sake, that offensive line is better. And we all remember the injury, but he took some awful hits before the injury. He got beat to hell. So you have to hope if you're the Bengals, you got that figured out.
The Saints are back to back Thursday games. They're on. They got the Bills on Thursday, the 25th, and then they've got the Cowboys on December 2nd. So that's interesting that you got Saints for, you got Jameis back to back weeks. Who doesn't want Jameis?
What weeks are those again?
That's weeks 13 and 4 and 12 and 13.
You might have Hill.
You got Taysom.
Taysom might be starting. We don't know.
He's going to be hurt by then, too. So
does he get hurt a lot?
Yeah. Well, he will be.
He's doing all that running
in college.
Oh, yeah. The knee injuries for him in college. Yeah.
In college, he used to. And plus, now he's going to be running. Yeah, he's going to be running the triple option. And it's going to be fun. That's going to be fun Saints football.
Can we get – I would like one game that's devoted to old school football, just like that Saints-Denver game where – where they're playing Hinton at quarterback. Just give me one weird game where the receiver is the quarterback. The Taysom Hill game. Make Taysom Hill the quarterback. And then go pick some backup receiver who used to play quarterback. I want that once a year. Make it weird.
Give it to London.
Yeah.
Because they won't know the difference anyway.
They can't tell. So
they're like, oh, they just run around a lot.
Like
I thought they were supposed to throw in this game. I thought they were supposed to throw in this game, bloke.
The NFL wears a patch commemorating certain years, the anniversary. Commemorate the Veer. Commemorate where the Bears were the best team in football. And they had, who was their quarterback at the time?
Rudy Bukic? No.
Who were the old school Bears quarterbacks? Was it Grant? Not
no.
Sonny Jorgens? Who were the Bears good quarterbacks?
Johnny Lujack.
Is that? Yeah, did he run the Veer or something?
No, he didn't run the Veer.
I would like the Taysom Hill. We could just call it the Taysom Hill game, where he plays quarterback, does a little running around, throwing a football, and you just pick some. You just, like, if they play the Dolphins this year, get Lynn Bowden to play quarterback and just have that game. Because let's honor what happened, that awful game that happened last year, every year.
Yeah. Are the Yankees too close? Are they doing some weird stuff in that locker room? I think that's a legitimate question on the other side.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
All right, it's 8:45 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Gleyber Torres is on the list now. He's on the injured list. He's got COVID. That's okay. So they've got six coaches or staff that are on the that have caught it, and now they've got Gleyber Torres. And apparently, Torres he was fully vaccinated. Previously, had COVID-19 during the most recent baseball offseason. He's got it again, and he's been vaccinated. So he's got it. So he's got to sit. And he's been vaccinated.
Yeah.
This is something that this league is going to have, that every league is going to have to work out. Because if he's not sick, if he's okay and he can play, he's getting punished when he's healthy enough to play. He's getting punished because other people are not vaccinated. The CDC just came out with saying that you can, if you're fully vaccinated, that you can be inside of rooms without a mask on now.
Correct. People are celebrating no masks.
No masks.
And the NBA just recently, only Shams Charania is putting it out there. They're discussing modifications to the health and safety protocols in light of the CDC guidance that fully vaccinated individuals do not need to wear a mask physically distant. So we'll see leagues react to the CDC, and that's always been kind of the guiding force behind this. What the CDC does.
Well, and that's inside, they said.
Yeah.
Let alone outside.
So the current protocols for the NBA are in place, but they are thinking about what the CDC has put out there and saying maybe we can adjust what we're doing. It'll be interesting to if they do put that in place, we will know who's not fully vaccinated by who has to wear a mask and who doesn't. Like, we don't know who isn't vaccinated because it's just a privacy concern. If they put that rule in place, well, some players will still wear them just because, but we will kind of know who's you know, gotten the either your poverty Moderna or your Pfizer or your Johnson & Johnson.
Well, the Yankees have eight people now who tested positive, who were fully vaccinated for COVID-19. They got the Johnson & Johnson, the cheap one.
They all got
blood clots.
I don't know about that. Maybe they're just making out with each other. I don't know what the deal is. But that means, because of what the MLB and all the other leagues have in place, that the guys who probably aren't adversely affected by the vaccine have to go away because they could infect guys who haven't.
But the Yankees had the 85% vaccinated, which you can lower your protocol standards now. But they've got because they've lowered their protocol standards, they're each giving it to each other, but they're vaccinated. All eight individuals symptom free, but continue to test positive, so they can't be around. You got to figure this out, Major League Baseball. You got to figure this out, every sports league. When football says it's going full stadiums, so suppose you got a bunch of guys that test positive. What are you going to do? If that's going to be the case, you almost have to stop testing now. What's the difference? If you're going to have, I don't know how many of your team, I guess you're going to have 85%. I don't know. That's baseball standards. I don't know what the NFL standards are going to be. But if most of your people are going to be vaccinated and then you can lower your protocol, then why test?
If you're not going to, and they're never going to approach this, if you're not going to require personnel to be vaccinated just so everyone can be deemed safe, then you either don't test or you're going to have these issues. Again, it's just going to be like last year, because the vaccine doesn't keep you from testing positive. It keeps you from suffering the symptoms. So you're going to have to figure, either make it a requirement or in your scenario, don't test, or deal with what you dealt with last year, where you're possibly canceling games because multiple guys are moving games because multiple players have it and you can't safely play.
Doesn't this prove that the vaccine is working?
If the Yankees aren't suffering any ill effects?
That you got this many guys that are testing positive and they're all fine.
Yeah.
This is proof. And this is what Brian Cashman says. He said, when you read the fine print, they tell you that you could still get COVID and the vaccine is to protect you from the symptoms, either to eliminate them altogether and protect you. It's not full protection, but the one thing I take from this is I believe the vaccine is working. We can take great comfort, thankfully, that all who were vaccinated with Johnson & Johnson, provided from two different states, the one batch in New York, blah, 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 I want to watch. We believe it has protected us from obviously something severe or something much more difficult to be handling than we currently are. They're all fine, and they're testing positive. So this whole, I don't know.
What do you think is more? I think it's more likely the league stopped testing.
That's what I think.
Than they actually, because you can't force anyone to get it.
Well, but here's the deal is, so all of the people that aren't vaccinated are at even greater risk.
Yeah, because
people with vaccines are possible. Everyone is a possible carrier,
and they're
not wearing masks anymore.
And
they're not.
And we know the deal. If you get vaccinated, some people will. You know, if you enter a public place and they ask you for a mask, you'll wear it. But you're going to be less. You're going to be less stringent on what you do because, hey, I'm fine. Nothing's going to happen to me. You're going to be thinking about yourself and going, you know what? I can go to a party. I can go out. Nothing's going to happen to me. And then you bring that back to a person who's not vaccinated. And with the leagues, it's like, well, Gleyber Torres, you got to sit. But I'm fine.
Yeah.
Can't you just ask the guys around me to get vaccinated so we can just play baseball?
Or why? I mean, well, they've got apparently 85% of the team is vaccinated.
But the rest of the league isn't vaccinated. He's going to be in contact with other players, and he's going to be in contact with guys who aren't vaccinated. And to protect those who have chosen not to do it, he's got to go away until they change the rule.
All I know is this: you got to stop.
The NFL will be the test case because baseball was still started before people were fully vaccinated. There will be really no excuse if you want the vaccination to not have it before the NFL season starts. And what will the NFL do?
As of 2 weeks ago, there are only 9 MLB teams that have reached the 85% threshold. So I think the way, if all teams got to 85%, then you can probably stop testing, stop kind of messing around with that. But before then, I mean, I don't know what you really can do.
Yeah. You know what? I guess is it political to say get vaccinated? Yes. Is that a political statement?
Everything is political.
Well, that's not
political. Nah, you know,
go get your vaccine. You know what? I'm going to go around. I may be, I don't know. I might have it right. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to get tested anymore. And I'm going to walk around without a mask because I'm vaccinated. So if you're not, go get your vaccine so that you're not putting your life at risk. And you're not taking away my liberties of making me wear a mask.
My freedoms.
That's yes. My freedom. Okay.
I don't care about it.
Taking away my freedom.
I don't care about it on the level of people like you or me who don't play sports. The only reason I would push for a vaccination, because look, I don't particularly care what you choose to do with your own person. That's your own personal decision. But if you're going to affect the way sports are played, I would like you to get it vaccinated. Well, I'm being selfish in that regard. Look, do what you need to do.
You want to continue to wear masks everywhere you go?
It doesn't bother me so much, but it
bothers me.
I get why people are bothered by it, but I don't care. I don't care about that so much because the mask thing I can do.
A lot of women out there are fooling you with their masks on.
Well, what if you only cared about certain aspects of them anyway?
Well, yeah, but
what?
What about butter?
Wait, I like butter on bread.
Oh,
And maybe.
Butter face.
Maybe you put them. Yeah, I got it, John. I got it.
I know.
Yeah, you didn't slink that one by me. I understood what you were doing.
We've both been teenage males. We know what butter faces are. Yeah.
What I was gonna say, you can use the mask to put it over your eyes if you so choose. If you are,
ooh, now there's a good use.
If you are encountering a butter face, as you said. I just don't want my sports interrupted. That's all. I don't want to walk. I don't want, when college football season comes back early September, I want to hear about 10 guys out for the big games that weekend because of COVID stuff. That's why I would like everyone to get vaccinated, because it means college football can go on as it should. That's my selfishness.
That's all you care about.
That's my selfishness.
That's it.
But some individual who wants to go into Home Depot, wear your mask, don't wear your mask, don't get vaccinated. Get vaccinated. Doesn't matter to me. I don't care what happens to you. But if you're the starting quarterback for a team that I'm going to watch, please get vaccinated, because I don't want to see you missing the game.
So how about this? We got to talk about this on the other side. Is load management in the NFL, now that there's a 17-game schedule? Are you kidding me? We'll talk about it on the other side.
Crime in the crime, I admit it, I'm with it. Must suckle up crime for my mama, right? Because the dollar made sense, no question. She was weak. She was queen, pin, and independent when I was a kid. Uncle Luke.
ESPN 97.5.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save